Did you put it on this morning? The armor? It was about 6:30 this morning when I awakened, and the first thing I did this morning was put on the armor. And I hope you have been maybe starting to make that a practice in your life. How are we to put it on? By faith. How are we to put it on? By prayer. I literally pray each piece on and ask the Lord to put the helmet of salvation on and the breastplate of righteousness, and I want to take the sword of the Spirit, and I want to have the belt of truth, and I want to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and I want to take the shield of faith. And so literally I ask the Lord to help me appropriate each of those pieces, and I trust that you are beginning that habit and that practice and will do that. Certainly if we're ever living in a time when we ought to do that, it's today. Now, last week we looked at the very first piece that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, the individual piece. And if you want to turn to Ephesians 6, we'll look at the second piece of armor this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you looked in your bulletin, what is today's verse? That's it, right there. We just read it. Guess what we're going to do? What do you think next Sunday's verse is going to be? Verse 11. What's next Sunday's verse going to be? 12. Oh, you're catching on quickly. And why not? You know, we had encouraged some memorization of some passages at one time. Why don't we start memorizing this passage if we don't already know it? This first verse is a simple one, isn't it? My boys' Bible class said, "Oh, that was just an easy one," you know. Now they get a little more difficult as the passage goes on, but this is an easy one. So let's take this first one and make it a part of our memory. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So last Sunday, we looked at this belt of truth and understood what a key piece of the armor that belt of truth is, and how we needed to have the imparted truth, which is the Word of God. We've been studying and are studying in our Sunday school this quarter, truth about how we received the Word of God and how we need to appropriate the Word of God. And thank God today, I hold in my hand a book that was inspired by God. He gave it, and a book that he has preserved, and a book that is trustworthy, and a book that is an inerrant book, and a book that can never be destroyed. Almost sounds like the first service of the new year message. But we have the Word of God, a more sure word of prophecy. Never be ashamed of it. Never doubt it. Never question it. Believe it. Accept it. Live it. And it's the imparted truth of God. And that's part of what we're talking about when we say put on the belt of truth, the imparted Word of God. But we also have the implanted Word of God, and where it's been implanted in our hearts, because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And when he came to reside within us, the Word of God was implanted in our hearts. And then we also have the implemented Word of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, as he causes us to practice and obey and live the Word of God. And so truth that's been imparted, implanted, and implemented, that's what we need. But we come now to the second piece of armor mentioned here in that verse. and it's verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This is the second piece of armor. Certainly, Paul was familiar with armor of soldiers in that day. In fact, when Paul wrote this epistle to the Ephesians, where was he? He was in prison, what we might call house arrest in Rome. He had a certain amount of liberty, but he was under house arrest in Rome, and he was in the presence continuously of soldiers, guards, and because of that, Paul was very, very knowledgeable of armor, and especially Roman armor, and even when he was young, Paul, he took note of garrisons of soldiers as he would be in the fortress of Antonio, adjacent to the temple area, and Paul spent many of his early years in that vicinity. And then when he wrote this epistle, he was certainly a prisoner in Rome and under house arrest, chained oft times to soldiers. And so to give an illustration, think of this for a moment. He may have been chained to a soldier while he is writing about the armor. And so he tells us about this important piece of the armor called the breastplate. Apart from the shield, this is probably one of the largest pieces of armor. We know from history that there are several types of armor, and by saying that I'm meaning made of different materials. Some were more lightweight, some were more maneuverable. There's one type of Roman breastplate that was made of linen, then covered with bone or shell. And so they would fashion these pieces of bone or shell that would be sewn to the linen and overlap. And of course, that would be more lightweight and more flexible. And they could use that. But if they were in a very, very heavy fighting situation, they would have a more secure piece of breastplate on. And it would be made of metal, and it would be that which would protect all of the vital organs of the body, would protect even around in your back. Yes, the armor would wrap around to the back. And so it would protect from spear and sword and arrow. So it was a very important piece of armor. And no Roman soldier would have ever imagine going into battle without his breastplate on. And so it often was the difference between defeat and victory, having that piece of armor. And so as we, as children of God, go forth into the battle today, how dare we go into battle without that piece of the armor? It too can be the difference between victory and personal defeat. Now, I'm not talking about losing the whole battle. I'm talking about personal victory here on a daily basis. And so, what kind of armor is this called? It is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want to remind you that there are three kinds of righteousness that we learn about in the Bible. And as we look at that, we are going to have to determine which of those three types are we supposed to put on today. There are three separate types of righteousness mentioned in the Bible, and it's not going to tell us to put on all three types. There's one of the three that we are going to be encouraged to put on today as part of our armor. But before we look at those three pieces of armor, let me just remind you again that the word righteousness, or the word righteous, or the word righteously, so it's the different form of the word righteous. Righteous, righteousness, righteously is found 644 times in the Bible. So if God mentions it once, is it important? If he mentions it 644 times, is it important? Yes. And so we can see that righteousness is important. In fact, Paul either uses the word 73 times or 81 times in his epistles. And why do I say 73 or 81? Well, it depends on who you think wrote Hebrews. But he either writes it 73 times or 81 times if he wrote Hebrews. And so Paul uses the word quite a few times in his epistles, doesn't he? And so righteousness concerns a rightness with God. Righteousness is that concern about us being in right relationship with God. And so there are these three kinds of righteousness that are mentioned in the Bible, and Ephesians 6 tells us about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. So which of these three is it? Well, let me tell you to start with, it's definitely not the first one, because the first one is self-righteousness. The first righteousness that we can learn about in the Bible is self-righteousness. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, just back a couple of chapters to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Excuse me, over a couple of chapters. I went backwards. And Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching a law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness," that's self-righteousness, "which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." So Paul mentioned in his own testimony, even though he had a righteousness in the flesh, and concerning righteousness in the law, he said he was blameless, but how did he count all of that righteousness, that self-righteousness? Dung. Worthless. And so he understood that self-righteousness had no value, had no worth. You know this verse in the Old Testament. It says all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. So self-righteousness is certainly not what Paul is encouraging us in Ephesians 6 to put on. In fact, Paul was the one who reminded us in his other epistles that self-righteousness had no value, was worthless. You know, there are many people today who really, really trust in that self-righteousness, don't they? There are many who have this philosophy in life. When I stand before God, and he's going to have this giant scale there in front of him, and he's going to take all of my righteous acts and put them on this side, and he's going to take all my sin and put it on this side, that my righteous acts, my self-righteousness, I hope is going to outweigh the sin that I committed. And that's the philosophy and the belief that many people have today, that that's how they're going to make it at the end. Well, I think And I'm sorry to say they are going to be totally mistaken, because what is your self-righteousness worth today? Nothing. Nothing. And it will never, ever be able to outweigh your sin, because it's worth nothing. It has no value. And certainly, Romans tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There is none that understandeth. And so I think it's very clear from Scripture that self-righteousness will never save anyone. Will never save anyone. And here's something. I'm just throwing out something for us to think about this morning. And even if we believed it could, how would you ever know if you've done enough? How would you ever know? In Judaism today, they have certain times, especially during certain religious holidays, when they do mitzvahs. Anybody know what a mitzvah is? Yes. It's a coming of age, but they do these individual things too, where they do special good works. And guess what? During holiday season, they're worth double. So if you do it during the holiday season, you get extra points. But even then, how do you ever know when you have done enough? And the answer is you don't, because you never can. And so I know without a doubt that the armor that we're being told to put on, the breastplate of righteousness, it is not self-righteousness that we're being told to put on there. So what's the second kind of righteousness? Well, it's called imputed righteousness. Righteousness that has been imputed to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So what happened to our sin? It was imputed to Christ. And what happened to Christ's righteousness? It was imputed to us. And so God credits us not with self-righteousness, but with Christ's righteousness. And that's called imputed righteousness. It's been imputed to us. And so, again, from the life of Abraham, listen to these verses out of Romans chapter 4. It says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the God, ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And so, again, the Bible is very clear that once we are saved, we now have Christ's righteousness given to us. That is your standing today. You have had the righteousness of Christ imputed to you if you are a believer in Christ today. And so is this something that we now have to put on? No. To whom is Paul writing when he writes about the instructions about the armor of God, when we see that in verse 10? Finally, 6:10, my brethren. My brethren are people who already have the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. I don't mean to be silly here, but it's like saying put on something that you already have on. No, it's not. He's not talking about putting on the imputed righteousness of God. You already have that. You don't need to put that on. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We cannot put on that which God has already put on us. And that's the righteousness of Christ. Imputed righteousness now is the basis. It's the foundation for being able to put on the breastplate of righteousness, but it's not the breastplate of righteousness. We couldn't put on this breastplate of righteousness unless we already had the imputed righteousness of Christ there. So they are linked together. So what is the third and final and the one that I think Paul is referring to here in Ephesians 6 when he says that we're to take and put on this breastplate of righteousness? What is it? Well, it's what we might call practical or daily righteousness. What is our standing? We have imputed righteousness. What is our practice? Daily righteousness. And what did Paul say in Philippians 3? He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Even Paul knew that every day, what did he have to do? Press toward the mark. He hadn't arrived, and he needed to practice every day his personal holiness, this practical holiness. You know, if there's survey after survey among Christians today show that there's a huge, huge disparity and gap between what people believe and what they practice. And that's sad, isn't it? A big, huge gap between what they believe and what they practice. They somehow miss the fact that once you have imputed righteousness of Christ, that what should you do? Live righteously. Once you've had that righteousness of Christ imputed to you, you ought to live like it. And unfortunately, there are many today who say, "Oh yeah, I'm glad I have that righteousness of Christ imputed to me." And then they want to go out and live any way they want to live and do anything they want to do. That which we're to put on, if we're going to be victorious today, is the practical daily righteousness that we have to put on by faith. Let's go to Isaiah 59, and I'm going to ask you to turn clear back there with me for a moment here. Isaiah 59. And notice when we come here to verse 16, Isaiah 59, 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. And this is again talking about the Savior. And how was he clad? In righteousness. And how does he want us to be clad today? In righteousness. We should model our Savior, who is clad in righteousness. And so, again, that's the type of righteousness that we should be clothed with today as we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the only difference is that we are still in our sinful flesh, and Christ was never in sinful flesh. But his example of living and walking and warfare and ministry and service and holiness is our example today. And if Christ was clad in righteousness, then we need to be doubly clad in righteousness. Now, there's a key to understanding all of this morning, and it has to do with our position. We've already talked about that, the position of righteousness today. And again, where do we find this righteousness and even the availability to have this righteousness? And it's because of a union that took place. A union that took place. And again, in Ephesians, go back to chapter 1 of Ephesians. Let's turn back just a couple of pages to Ephesians 1. And even verse 1, to the faithful, and where are they? 1:1, in Christ Jesus. The word in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, that verse 6 says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7, in whom. And so several times, just in a few verses here, in verse 4, chosen us in Him. So over and over, being in Christ talks about a union. And certainly, because of that union, we now have the ability to live righteously. And it's not our self-righteousness, that was all by the flesh, but because we are in Christ, we now can live according to our position. And righteousness involves several steps today. And I want to just close this morning with three steps of how we can put on this righteousness. And the first step is in Galatians 5:16. Let's go back to Galatians 5:16. And again, look at this first step. And in Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So this righteousness has to do with understanding the walk of the believer. And we're not to walk in the flesh, we're to walk in the Spirit. And so, who is to be the one that leads us into the path of righteousness? The Holy Spirit. So the first step in putting on the breastplate of righteousness is to listen to the Holy Spirit as He would direct us. And how does He tell us to walk? Well, we have the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the works of the flesh. And so this old man who's going into battle that needs to put on the righteousness as a breastplate, we do that as the Holy Spirit of God leads us and helps us produce that righteousness in our lives, which is called the fruit of the Spirit. And then once we are filled with the Spirit and the Spirit is leading us, then the second step is found in 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the first is the Spirit of God indwelling you. The second is the Word of God instructing you. How do we know what righteousness God wants us to do? As we are instructed in righteousness from His Word. Now, imagine this. Let's imagine that there's an airplane sitting on the runway. And the airplane has its engines running, and it's about ready to take off, but there's no flight plan. And then, let's say without that flight plan, it decides to take off, but it doesn't know where it's going. Have any of you been in an airplane where, for some reason, there was some holding pattern going on and you had to circle? I remember one time going over Chicago, and we got in what they call a stack. And they had all the planes at different elevations, and we literally circled, and you could see it was a clear day. We'd go out over Lake Michigan, we'd come back in over part of Wisconsin, down around over Chicago and back up and around, and we just kept doing that and doing that. Well, if you're in an airplane that doesn't have a flight plan, doesn't know where it's going, all you do is go in circles. Do you know, if we want to live righteously, we have to have a flight plan. This is the flight plan. That's the instruction in righteousness. And thirdly, Romans 6 tells us, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What do we have to do? Totally surrender ourselves. Yield our members as instruments of righteousness. Those three steps: allow the Spirit of God to be your guide, allow the Word of God to instruct you, and yield your members as instruments of righteousness. When we do that, we will have on the breastplate of righteousness. And if we have on the breastplate of righteousness, we can go forth to win the victory in our battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, as we are clothed with the girdle of truth, the belt of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness. May it be so in our lives today. Let's pray. The last song we sang this morning said, O church, arise and put your armor on. Father, oft times we struggle and seem to have so many defeats in our lives because we are going into battle without the armor. And certainly today we would desire to walk in truth and to walk in righteousness. If we are already yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness, if we are already living a life that we recognize is in disobedience to God's instructions concerning righteousness, if we are already not listening to the Spirit of God as He would direct us, and we are doing our own thing and choosing our own way, it is no wonder that we suffer so many defeats and setbacks. For indeed, if we're going to be walking with this imputed righteousness, being able to be seen in our practical righteousness, we have to allow the Spirit of God to do His work. We have to not allow the Word of God to do its work. And we have to obey as we yield ourselves. Father, give us victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to stand in Christ, and having done all, to stand. It's so sad today to see so many who seem to want to have the name of Christ but don't want to have the marks of the Christian in their lives. They don't want to live any differently than the world. And certainly our breastplate of righteousness would cause us to be different from the world today. Again, as we did last Sunday, How many of you today are saying by faith, I know that I need this breastplate of righteousness daily in my life, and by God's grace, I'm going to be more active in putting on this breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to be more active in listening to the Spirit of God. I'm going to be more active in implementing the Word of God in my life, and I'm going to be more active in yielding myself to Christ as an instrument of righteousness. You say, God has spoken to my heart. There are some decisions I'm making today in regard to this breastplate of righteousness, and I just want to demonstrate that by asking you to pray for me today, Pastor. All of you who are making some kind of decision today in that regard, slip your hand up. I remember you in prayer today. Amen. Amen. Father, you know, even if somehow we're trying to hide the fact, you know what's needed in our lives today. You know whether we are really availing ourselves of this breastplate or not. You know how close our lives line up with your standards and your righteousness and how much they fail. And you know how much desire we have to live for you and how much we don't have. Father, we cannot hide from you. And so I pray that for each one today who indicated some kind of a decision they're making in regard to this piece of armor, I pray that you will help us to all yield ourselves to you and follow your word and listen to your Spirit. Direct us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.